Manasani. Hold it. We have some people that know the words and some people that don't know the words. Do we have some song sheets that have the words? Yeah? Or something? While she's looking for the words, I'll explain the meaning of what we're singing. Wouldn't that be nice? This is the song that we're just singing. They're names of Krishna. And by calling upon names, just like previously you were chanting Hare Krishna mantra, by calling the names of Krishna, we're invoking Krishna's presence. There's a nice verse in the Padma Puran that teaches that the name of Krishna and Krishna are the same. Abhinatvam nama namino. Nama chintamani Krishnas, the whole verse is. Those of you that are familiar with the Vedas will recognize this. Nama chintamani Krishnas. The holy name of Krishna acts like chintamani, or a touchstone. Touchstone is very wonderful. You touch a touchstone to something base metal and it becomes gold. Like there's a nice lamp, metal lamp, or a stand for the microphone. Touch the touchstone to the microphone stand. Poof, becomes gold. That would be valuable, wouldn't it, having a touchstone? And the holy name of Krishna acts like touchstone in that it transforms anything it comes in contact with into spiritualized energy or spiritualized existence. Nama Chintamani Krishnas. I won't do the whole thing. Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto. Purna Shuddho means it's completely pure. Unlike things of this world, where can you find something that's completely pure? You'll always find something that's contaminated, even gold. So many carat gold, so many carat gold, or diamonds, so many carat, but completely pure is not something of this world. Something that's completely pure is out of this world. It's transcendental. The name of Krishna is Purna Shuddho, completely pure. No touch of the modes of material nature. Nitya Mukto, it's always in the liberated position. Krishna is always in the liberated position, and so is his name, because Abhina Tvam Nama Namino. The quality of non-difference, Abhina Tvam, is there between Nama and Namino. The name and the object named. In the material world, you can't say that. The classic is water. If you're thirsty and you want water, you could say, water, 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 water. And your thirst doesn't become quenched. In fact, the opposite. You'll become parched of throat by saying, water, 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 water. Because the object and the name of the object are different. But Krishna and the name and the object named are non-different. So the chanting that you were doing just before, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is that way of associating with the Supreme Pure by calling upon his name, because his name is not different than him and he is directly present in that sound vibration. What qualification do we have to associate with God? The answer is we don't. In fact, minus. We have disqualification. We have disqualification, but not qualification. Still we have no qualification. Krishna is very kind and he makes himself accessible through his holy name. And so now, while I'm stalling for time, you're going to get the words of this next song, which is also names of Krishna, but in these names of Krishna, it's indicating his pastimes. What does the name Krishna mean? Does anybody? Our newer guests. Huh? All attractive. That's right. Krish, the syllable in Sanskrit, Krish means to attract. Krishna, he's the all-attractive supreme. And in the ways that he's all-attractive includes by his very, very wonderful, beautiful pastimes. So I'll go quickly through the song, so by the time I end, you'll all have words to the song. Jaya Radha Madhava. Radha, you know. Radha is Radharani, the consort of Krishna, his pleasure potency. And Madhava. Madhava, the name Madhava indicates the associate of the goddess of fortune. Everyone in this world wants fortune. And to get fortune by worshipping the goddess of fortune or by hook or by crook, they want fortune. But the husband of the goddess of fortune is Madhava. So Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. He is enjoying in the kunjas, the pleasure groves of Vrindavan with Radha. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Does everybody have words to the song now? Anyone not have words to the song? That would like? We're needing one more. Okay, we're ready to go. So I won't go through the whole, the meaning of each of the words, but what you can understand is these are names of Krishna that are in relation to his pastimes, his loving dealings with Radha. Gopi Jana Bhalava. Gopi Jana, the cowherd damsels of Braja. Gopi Jana Bhalava. He's the delight. He gives unlimited pleasure and happiness to the gopis. The gopis are Radha's friends in Vrindavan. And Giri Varadhari, Krishna is the lifter of Govardhan Hill. And so on. There are names of Krishna that by meditating upon them, you enter into Vrindavan. I'll say it again. By meditating upon these names, you can enter into Vrindavan. And the Vrindavan is the abode of Krishna where he's enjoying loving pastimes with his loving devotees. So, minus one musician, we'll continue. You should learn, yeah? Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Jasodana Nandana Raja Janarandana Yasodanandana Raja Janarandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya, Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Gornatai ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Damodar ki jai. Sambir Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Nithai Gopimanandi. When I was thinking of a topic to speak about for this evening, I was considering a few different things, and then there's one nice devotee who's starting to practice Krishna consciousness who wrote a short question, and I thought of that question gave a springboard for what I thought would be nice to speak about this evening. It's a very simple question. It was a how-to question. It was, it seems that we have obstacles in the path of devotion. And then he went on to say that, far as I understand it, devotion, or the devotional service means the sincere effort that you put into trying to please God, trying to please Krishna. That's the essence of what is the path of devotion that I'm very attracted to. But there are some obstacles. One of them is the mind. The other one is the body. And sometimes the mind doesn't want to cooperate. And sometimes the body doesn't want to cooperate. What to do? So my thoughts went to a verse that Srila Prabhupada often liked to quote. It's from the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in connection with the life of Maharaj Ambarish. And I'll tell a little bit about who Maharaj Ambarish is, because he's a wonderful person to speak about. And then the how-to part will come. So, Maharaj Ambarish was, we'll go back. The ninth canto opens with a description of Vaivasvata Manu and the sons of Vaivasvata Manu. Now, who is Vaivasvata Manu? Well, Bhagavad Gita teaches that Vaivasvata Manu is the son of the sun god whose name is Vivaswan. So his name became Vaivasvata. And Vaivasvata Manu, if you want to go further back, let's go, can we? Oh, anyway. Vaivasvata Manu, who was Vaivasvata Manu before he was Vaivasvata Manu? Does anybody know? We're all somebody before we are today. Vaivasvata Manu, previously was King Satyavrata. There's a piece of information for some of you that are regulars in Krishna consciousness. Who is Satyavrata? King Satyavrata. King Satyavrata was the king that the Matsya avatar appeared because of, he was a great devotee of Matsya. He worshipped Matsya. And because he was such a sincere devotee, he appeared as Matsya. He appeared. One day, the king was offering oblations to perform his daily duties. He was offering oblations or water as while saying his prayers. And as he was offering oblations, he looked in the palm of his hand and he saw a little fish. A little fish spoke to him. It said, fish don't usually speak to kings, but this one did. And he said, I'm very uncomfortable in this small little body of water. Can you put me in a larger body of water? Nice big lake. We got a nice big lake and put him in the big lake. And then the fish expanded so big that he couldn't fit in the lake. So, can you find me a bigger body of water? So he put him in the ocean. And he expanded. It was too big to fit in the ocean. King Satyavata realized, this isn't just a fish that talks. This is the personality of Godhead. And Matsya informed the king, very soon I am going to appear in my full form of Matsya avatar. The whole world is going to be covered in water. I will make an arrangement for you and all the species of life, because you're the king of the whole planet, the earth will transform into a boat, and all the species, those of you from a Christian background, you know about Noah and the ark. So all two of each kind of species, male, female, will be placed on the ark, and I will be there. Before he did all that, he Matsya avatar imparted transcendental knowledge unto King Satyavrata. So now he's not only an ardent devotee of Matsya avatar, but he's filled with transcendental knowledge, having heard transcendental knowledge directly from the personality of Godhead in the form of a fish avatar. So, as the Lord said, he suddenly disappeared. As the Lord said, an inundation came and the whole earth planet was covered with water. And, thank you very much. And then the boat appeared and the king did as he was told to do. And there was a horn or a protruding piece sticking off the top of the body of Matsya. And the king was told to get Vasuki, a serpent, to go around that horn so he could then pull the boat and stay safe. Very interesting, Leela. And King Satyavrata in his next life became the son of the sun god and named Vaivasvata Manu. That was a detour. I didn't plan to speak all that. But so then, as the son of the sun god, Vivaswan, Vaivasvata Manu had a number of sons. And one of the sons was Nabhaga, and one of his sons was Nabhaga, and his son was Ambarish. So, to speak about Ambarish, Nabhaga was a great personality also, his father. Ambarish was a pure devotee of Krishna. He was specifically a Krishna Bhakta. He worshipped Krishna. He had a Krishna deity, and he ardently worshipped Krishna. At the same time, because he was so elevated spiritually, he was extremely opulent. So opulent that his opulence surpassed, not rivaled, but surpassed the opulence of the King of Heaven. But because he was so full in devotion, Ambarish had no interest at all in all of this opulence. Specifically, the Bhagavatam says that he considered it no more significant than a piece of stone. The whole universe, the opulence of the universe. He was the emperor of the world. But even give him the universe, he had no interest. But yet he was ruling because he was serving Krishna. I'll say it again. It's worth saying it again. He had all opulence that he was completely detached from, but he used it all in service to Krishna with complete detachment. What was his attachment was Krishna. So, how did he achieve that fullness of devotion? He achieved it by his activities. And the verse, there's a long verse, it's actually several verses clustered together, where it describes what he did every day. And the first part of what he did every day was he fixed his mind upon Krishna. Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindayo Va Changsi Vaikunta Gunana Varnanam. Can we open the door and get some the other kind of air? Or is it already open? No, it's not. Beautiful. Okay. We'll get a little noise, but we'll get some air. So, back to this person's question. Obstacles on the path of bhakti. One of the obstacles is the mind. The mind doesn't want to go there. And then the body says, I want sense gratification. Something like 2 weeks ago, I was with a group of families that had some small kids, and I realized two things. The kids were real bright, and the kids weren't going to understand something on an adult level, so I just had a class with the kids while the parents listened. So I asked the kids a question. I could ask you the question, but I'll just do a third person. I asked them a question. The question was, okay, this is quiz time. You're used to quiz in school. School has started now. This is a quiz. Surprise quiz! And here's the question. The question is, here's a soul that's been wandering and wandering lifetime after lifetime in so many species of life, and they've experienced a tree life, a plant life, a bird life, a fish life, and human life, this culture, that culture, all around town. They've been there, done that, as they say. Now, finally they're growing up in the same place that you're growing up, and they reach the conclusion, I don't like this program. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be with Krishna. Yes, I want to be with Krishna. And they make their determination, I want to be with Krishna. Like this man was asking me, he wasn't a child, he was adult with his own children. But same principle. Why you can't just do a U-turn? Just like, you know, turn around and go the other direction. Like, go to Krishna. What's the answer? What are the obstacles? And, you know, the kids said different things, and a 7-year-old girl said, the soul is saying yes, but the body is saying, I want sense gratification. Wow. Okay. Then another one raised their hand and said, and the mind says, I want to be independent. Wow. Yeah, I picked the right group of kids to ask this question of. So, the body wants this. Now, this is this man's question, you know, in his mid-30s, late 40s, trying to practice, start his life in devotion, asking the question, I want to go there, but there's obstacles, the body and the mind. And the body says, I want sense gratification. And the mind says, surrender? I'll lose my independence. I want to be independent. And the soul is saying, I want to go to Krishna. So there's a very nice description. This Maharaj Ambarish narration hits it right on the mark. One needs to regulate the activities of the senses as Maharaj Ambarish did. Specifically, one by one, it describes. With his legs, he walked to the temple. With his head, he bowed his head before the deity of Krishna. With his hands, he cleansed the temple of Krishna. With his ears, he heard the words glorifying the personality of Godhead, Krishna. With his nose, he smelled the fragrances of the flowers and the scented articles that were offered to Krishna, etc., etc. He engaged his senses in service to Krishna. And he engaged his mind, thereby, in always thinking of Krishna. We'll say it the other way around. How do you always engage your mind in thinking of Krishna? The method that's described in Bhagavad Gita and in Srimad Bhagavatam is the process of hearing. So now I'm going to read verse 1 from chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita. In fact, let's see if anybody knows. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text number 1. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, what's the verse? Yes? Yata gyas yasi tachrino. Very good. Anyone else know the verse from memory? Where's your son? He knows all these verses, doesn't he? Has he learned verses from Bhagavad Gita? Some of them. Maya saktamana partha yogam yunjan madashaya asamshayam samagram yatmam yatagyas yasi trachanu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, now hear, tat shrinu, hear from me. The same message as the first verse of chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna said, Pratyakshava avagamam dharmyam. Krishna says that I'm going to explain. What is the verse? First verse of chapter 9. Idam tu te guyatamam pravakshyam yanasuyave. Pravakshi. Krishna says, I'm going to explain to you, which is another way of saying, please hear from me, how one can fix the mind on Krishna. So in these chapters, Krishna's going to explain how you can fix the mind upon Krishna, as Maharaj Ambarish did, as these kids were exploring how you can do, and this nice man that's taking up Krishna consciousness wanted to know how to overcome this obstacle of the mind by hearing. Starts with hearing. Tat shrinu, hear from me how one can maya sakta mana partha, when the mind can become asakti, means attached, to become detached from matter, you need to become attached to spirit. Simple. In my left hand here, I'm holding a pair of kartals, and supposing I'm thirsty, there's some nice water over here by my side. So I can't continue to hold on to the kartals, and at least I'm not ambidextrous enough to do it, to take the water and also drink the water. But if I put the kartals down, then my hand is free and I can take the water. This is Prabhupada's example. Similarly, the mind is filled with things that were conceptions of life that make us attached to trying to be enjoyers of the senses, the body. The conceptions are carried in the mind and the body is the instrument. The senses are the instrument. One has to let go of all of that. I'll give another practical example. I was at an event where one man who was beginning Krishna consciousness, had married, has two children, nice man, and he came up after the discussion and said, May I ask a question about my career? Sure. How do I make decisions? He repeated it three times. He said, I have an opportunity to take a job where I can earn $125,000. And I know that I'll have to sacrifice to earn that $125,000. I have to sacrifice discretionary time. I may not be able to do all the devotional things that I'd like to do, and I may not be able to give as much time to my family as I would like to do. And the other option, if I don't accept that, I have like almost half the pay, or a little bit more than half the pay, but I'll probably have more discretionary time. What should I do? I didn't say, you know, don't do this, do that, or do that, don't do this. It was, look to what you're attached to. You know, what's important to you. You're telling me devotional practice is important to me. But you're also saying, because he had said it, your whole life has been geared up to get money. Build that career and get money. And now you're at the cusp of having more money than you've had before. But you're also looking at what you'll lose. You'll lose a lot of freedom. You'll lose the spiritual value that now has grown. And, you know, it seems to me like Krishna's knocking on your door saying, do you really want me? Are you sure you want me? How about some sense gratification? It can come in different ways. I'm paraphrasing now what Prabhupada had said. Prabhupada said, because we'll go back to what this man in his question said, my basic understanding, the path of devotional service is sincerely wanting to please God. And through that wanting to please God, establishing a relationship with Him. It's universal, regardless of faith or, you know, ism, this ism, that ism. It's a principle. So now here's an obstacle, the mind and the senses, the mind and the body. So Prabhupada said, when you say to Krishna, my dear Krishna, please accept me as one of your eternal servants in the spiritual world. I want to do a U-turn. Please take me back to you. Krishna may respond. Prabhupada said he will test. And he'll say, are you sure that's what you want? What about a little sense gratification? So some opportunity will come. And what Krishna wants to know is, are you going to say yes to sense gratification, no to him, or are you going to say no to sense gratification, yes to him? So I said to this man, consider carefully your own disposition and where will you be contented? And that's, you know, an aspiring spiritualist wants to decrease their material involvement. Nivritti Marg, it's called in Sanskrit. The path of decreasing material involvement and increasing spiritual contact. It's like say yes to Krishna, say no to Maya in simple language. Or let go of the cartel so you can get the water. You know, let go of, and he used that language, I guess I have to learn to let go. That's what he said. I said, I think you're right. But be sure that you want to let go, because otherwise you'll grab onto it again. Or you'll lament because you didn't grab onto it after you made the decision to let go. Make sure that's what you want. And make sure that you want that progress to Krishna. Not exactly maybe a U-turn, but at least a 90-degree turn instead of, you know, straight on. So that process of bringing the mind to Krishna is by the process of hearing. Tatranu. Maya sakta manak partha. How the mind can become attached to Krishna. Mana asakti. Attached, mind attached to Krishna. Yogam yunjan madashraya. Ashraya means shelter. One who finds as their only shelter Krishna. And the reality is, even for a sincere person that's in beginning, I'll assume that most of the persons fall in that category, we have some attraction, but you know, there's also some other attraction. There's a mix of attraction. If we're honest with ourselves, there's a mix of attraction. And but in cultivating attraction for Krishna, there's this wish that we find Krishna's shelter. Now I'll share something else, leaving the person anonymous. Someone just shared with me what their experience was in Gita Nagari with the Japa retreat. And some of you have been to Gita Nagari. Most of you have been to Gita Nagari. Some heads are nodding. So some of you are from Gita Nagari, for that matter. And you've not only been there. So during the Japa retreat, it was over Labor Day weekend, the beginning part of September, one of the devotees from out of town was just the day before their 60, we chanted 64 rounds on Sunday. Some persons were attempting to do that. So the day before, this devotee had gone to the cow barn, and they were going at the time of milking because they wanted to participate in milking the cow. So the experience was, when they went to go milk the cow, Parijata allowed the little calf, heifer calf, at the time of milking to get the first milk. So she opened the barn door, and the heifer came running. She said it was like he was dancing. His head was way up in the air, and his tail was moving like this, and he was dancing because he was going to his mother, and he was going to get some milk, and he got to the mother's milk, and was reaching his head like with his neck stretched under, and his tail was moving and moving and moving. And she went around and looked at the mother, and the cow was with tears in her eyes. She was so happy to feed her little calf some milk. And the heifer took what he wanted, and then he went dancing out the barn door and went running into the field with the other cows with his tail moving like this. So that very morning of our 64 rounds, I referred to a verse where in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vritrasura is describing to King Indra about the enthusiasm, the eagerness of a devotee, and one of the to meet the Lord, to go to Krishna, to be with Krishna. And he gives the example of a calf eager to receive the milk of the mother. The word that's used is, I think it's utkal, something like that, that their neck outstretched, taking the milk from the mother with eagerness, in the same way one should be eager. And then the mind is fixed. So this devotee said, the next day, when you made that mention, this vision was very strong in my mind. My chanting went like, pshhh. I was just thinking of this calf. Let me be like that calf. And how happy is Krishna? The cow with tears. Literally, there were tears coming from her eyes. How happy she was to feed her little calf. How happy is Krishna when we chant for his pleasure? What to speak of, if we fix our mind upon Krishna from chanting with pleasure, all whatever the things that we do in service to Krishna, the mind becomes fixed. And how does it start? It starts from hearing. Because probably many of us, certainly me, I can speak for myself, there were 21 years in my life I hadn't even heard the syllables, Krishna. And just hearing the Hare Krishna mantra, I was attracted. I didn't know what it was, but I was attracted. It was something that attracted. It was Krishna because he's all attractive. I didn't know what that was, but it was happening. And so some others of you from different cultures besides India, and Krishna is attractive. What to speak of when you understand who Krishna is? What to speak of like the calf? It's as natural as the calf taking milk from the mother to want to be with Krishna and to be with Krishna. Then the mind can become fixed through that process of hearing about Krishna, just like the Jayaradha Madhava or the chanting of Hare Krishna or reading the message of Krishna from Bhagavad Gita, where he is explaining to Arjuna, Maya Saktak Manar Partha Yogam Yunjan Badashaya Asamshayam. This is another nice word. Asamshaya. Samshaya means doubt. Asamshaya means without doubt. Or sometimes it's translated without fear, like abhai. Where there's doubt or apprehension, I don't know what's on the other side. I'm over here, there's this promise that Krishna is over there, but I'm hesitating because what if Krishna is not over there? What if Krishna just like ignores me or forgets me, or I'm too insignificant and so he doesn't bother with me, and I let go of my cartels and there was no water in the cup. I let go of my material attachments. Because Arjuna asks this question of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. What happens to the person who starts on the path of bhakti? The person who starts on the path of bhakti and then doesn't go the whole way. What happens to that person? They no longer have their previous shelter and they don't have the next shelter. They're like nowhere. Like a riven cloud with no position in any sphere. And Krishna says, no. It's not like that. Any little progress that one makes in spiritual life, it's permanent. It's a permanent asset for the soul, on the platform of the soul. On the platform of matter, it looks like you're nowhere. You don't have this and you don't have that. You're nowhere. But from Krishna's great gratitude, Krishna is so grateful. Even you do the smallest thing, Krishna is grateful. Resonating in my mind now is hearing one lecture where Prabhupada was in New York. It was midsummer, July, really hot, much hotter than it is here at State College at the end of September. New York City in mid-July was roasting hot. Everybody was melting from the heat. But Prabhupada, they were fixed in hearing Prabhupada's inspiring words. He was speaking on this point that Krishna is such a personality that he's so grateful. If one, and his voice raised in volume and pitch, if one comes to the temple, and if one does even the smallest service, if one turns even one screw for Krishna, he will never forget. Everyone went, Jai Prabhupada, and completely forgot the heat and forgot everything but the mercy of Krishna. Let's go for the mercy of Krishna. Let us try to do sincerely even one thing. What to speak of dedicating our life with sincerity unto Krishna. Trying to receive the mercy of Krishna through the process of hearing can carry one to that place that's beyond doubt, beyond fear. One of the devotees in our japa retreat, in the beginning we had this exercise of stating our, for those from India, I'll say the Sanskrit word, sankalpa, our intention in being here at the japa retreat. What was our sankalpa? And one devotee said, so we were sharing, he said, my intention, my sankalpa is, I'd like to experience chanting in fearlessness. Wow. What do you mean? It's like Prahlad Maharaj, where opposition-wise, it wasn't just the body and the mind, it was Hiranyakashipu, the scourge, the terror of the universe, and that was his father, who, because his son was devoted to God, he wanted to kill him. But he couldn't kill him because Prahlad was protected by the personality of Godhead. He was fearless. It wasn't a bluff. That the mind, if there's fear, there's four animal propensities taught in the scriptures. And if human life is doing just these four things, it's nothing other than polished animal life, but still animal life. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Of the four, one of them is the strongest, and it's defending. If one is in the middle of eating or sleeping or mating, and there's a life-threatening circumstance, you stop those things and you defend out of fear. It's the strongest force in the material world. So to get to a place where there is no fear, because there's shelter of Krishna, madashraya, asamsayam, that there's, so there's no doubt, no fear, no hesitation. There's full shelter, full protection. One devotee that was sharing from the Japa retreat, they felt they entered into that space because they saw all these other things that are normally their shelters, and they realized there's no shelter there. But there is real shelter. Let me take shelter of Krishna. And they felt Krishna's reciprocation, giving shelter. Asamshaya. Beyond experiencing within the mind, but experiencing on the platform of the soul, receiving the mercy of Krishna through this descending method. Asamshayam samagram mam. Completely. Yatag yasyasi tachtrinu. Krishna says, now you can know this in full. Just hear from me. So this is the process of overcoming the obstacles. This man's question. How do we overcome the obstacles? Namely, the body says no. I want sense gratification. And the mind says, give up my independence? That's not a good program. I've been free and independent for as long as can be. I'm not ready to give up my independence. But the soul, at least the sincere soul, is saying, I want to go to Krishna. So, the hearing process from the right source, and regularly engaging in that hearing, regularly chanting, regularly engaging the senses in activities of devotion in your homes every morning, some kind of daily sadhana or some practice where you, as Maharaj Ambarish, cleanse the altar, cleanse the temple, cleanse the utensils where you're going to prepare things to offer to Krishna with, engage the senses in acts of devotion. Engage the mind in hearing about him, hearing his name, hearing his message, hearing devotees who are inspired in life of devotion, and hear from them their appreciations of these messages. Go on with the hearing and chanting process. The cleansing takes place. Gradually, the mind becomes fixed. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. The remembrance, constant remembrance of Krishna. That was Prahlad Maharaj. He became fearless because of his constant remembrance of the Supreme Lord. And he was fully protected. He was fearless. He was beyond doubt. One can achieve that in this life. This simple means to unpack all of that, the very simple means that Prabhupada gave us was daily chanting, hearing the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, offering your food to Krishna, so that the tongue is controlled, chanting Krishna's name so the tongue is controlled and purified, gradually progressing on that path of purification, you connect with Krishna, the obstacles are gone. The mind becomes spiritualized, the senses become spiritualized, they act in a spiritual way. And distraction towards the other, it pales in its significance. Just this little anecdote and I'll end. Some children, devotee children, were sharing with me what it was like to go to school what it was like to have a Sunday school where there are new kids coming to the Sunday school that aren't like trained in devotional life like they were from childhood. And those other kids, they watch television. So they're sharing with those other kids that watch television, yeah, it's a waste of time. They were like Prahlad Maharaj in the classroom. They were sharing with them, it's a waste of time. What's television all about? Blah, blah, blah. And here's what's really fun. Let's do what's really fun. These devotional activities. The kids said, yeah, you're right. You know, we're just bored at home, so we watch television. And all the other kids are watching television, so we don't want to be left out. So we watch television. But, you know, when there's a higher taste, it wasn't like their parents telling them, it was the kids telling the kids. It's powerful. It's powerful. The process of bhakti works. It changes one's heart. It changes consciousness. And once having that taste, the material activities just pale in significance. One can't return to them. Okay. Any comments or questions? I've been speaking too long. I also just remembered in your house there's a box of Mahaprasadam from Kishore Kishori. This would probably be the ideal time to distribute it. Anyone? Yes?
You may not say a lot of attempts, like we tend to commit sometimes mental offenses, so how to avoid that?
How to avoid mental offenses? Well, even after many attempts doing like you described, we still may commit mental offenses. How to avoid that? Well, the very fact that you're trying to avoid that is what you should be doing. You know, what you don't want to do is make mental offenses, so you try to avoid mental offenses. If you know what offenses are, educate yourself what are offenses and avoid that. And Krishna will give you the strength. And if there's some slip and you make mental offenses, correct the problem. Go to that person who you made the mental offense towards and seek their forgiveness. I've done that. And a Vaishnava is forgiving by nature. My experience is, when doing such a thing, the individual said, wow, I had no idea that you were thinking like that, but, you know, I certainly didn't feel that you were thinking like that, and I hold nothing against it. It's gone, you know, it's washed away, don't worry. Or vice versa, other persons have said such things, and I had no idea, and I felt nothing, I feel no, you know, harm. And so consider it forgiven. Don't worry about it. Let's move on. If you make a mess, clean it up. Anything else? Begavati, you want to add something here? I feel some energy coming from that side of the room, I thought. You usually have some nice pearls of wisdom to share, so. Like when you said this, I was thinking something.
But when you said that if you make mental offense, you have to go and tell the person.
I'd be really busy for the rest of my life doing that.
And I've actually heard it sometimes that if you bring it to somebody really doesn't know, that if you within yourself maybe you're going to chant the holy name, it might be better than going to the person making them aware if it was only a mental offense. Have you ever?
I never thought of it that way. I can remember times in my spiritual life I felt badly, that I was feeling badly towards a certain person. I knew it wasn't, the things that they had done were wrong, but my feeling badly towards them wasn't right. So I spoke to them. I didn't say, you did this bad thing, and I feel, but it's just I've been holding in my heart some ill will towards you, and I know it's not right, and I feel badly about that. Please forgive me. Have you ever had anyone speak like that to you?
Not that I can think of offhand.
I can. And my experience is when that happens, the person feels that they're carrying, like so many umpteen years ago. There was this situation in the Brooklyn Temple or in the Manhattan Temple, and I did this, and I spoke to this a most outrageous thing, and you didn't react, you were just very calm, but I felt it was really bad, and I've been wanting the opportunity to apologize. Or one devotee, without mentioning names, I stole some money from the temple, and I felt really bad, but I was in a I was in a difficult situation, and I was young and foolish, and for 20 years later I felt really bad. I'd like to, can I give it back to the temple with interest, and can you forgive me for that act? They're carrying some pain for that wrongdoing, so relieve them of that pain. Even though I didn't know they stole the money, or I didn't know they said some bad thing, or...
Yeah, actually, when you spell it out as something from years ago, I guess there have been, in both cases. But I also remember a clipboard, and unfortunately I don't remember where it's from.
One of those, huh?
Yeah. But I remember it, that Srila Prabhupada said that offenses against a pure devotee are so severe that unless and until one regrets his offense and thus nullifies it, or one can never be forgiven unless and until
one sincerely regrets it. Okay, that's very different. And so I'll add to that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote an article, a little essay, on Pancha Sangskar, describing the purificatory processes for initiation. And in that purificatory process for initiation, one of them is tapa. And he explains that in the Sri Sampradaya, the tapa is a brand, a hot piece of iron in the shape of the symbols of Vishnu are placed on the shoulder of the Vaishnav at the time of their initiation. That's their tapa. Then he said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very lenient. His tapa was regret. So recognize and sincerely regret. It's like one of those things that when someone has...